So today I would like us to talk about power, not the power of government, not the power of the natural world, not the power that a unique a person who's hopped up on PCP can do when they have the strength, it seems, to break a single pair of handcuffs. I want to talk about the Spirit of God. If you'll turn over with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. In 2 Timothy, we have this lovely scripture. Many of us probably have it memorized. I get to go there quickly because I have a ribbon in my Bible, and I brought it up and opened up to that scripture first. So it says, therefore, I remind you to stir up, in verse 6 of 2 Timothy 1, the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. You know, these days, those folks up in Bakersfield, you may remember this, there was Buck Owens, who was a country songwriter of Bakersfield fame. He said, there was a piece he wrote entitled, I've got a tiger by the tail and it's plain to see. I won't be much when you get through with me. I think we kind of feel with the pandemic that we have a tiger by the tail and we don't know which way we'll all end up at the end. However, today, I think our focus on reminding us of the capacity, the ability that we have because Jesus died, he rose again, and sent his spirit to you and I. You have a gift. I have a gift that allows us the ability to see the self. It conveys the capacity to guide and direct the self. And that spirit, that power that God gives us, instills in us an ability to perform seemingly sometimes hard things, which many people would say are almost anything. It's a capacity to love greater than self-interest. That is the power here we see described in 2 Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 7. The word for power is dunamis, D-Y-N-A-M-I-S, dunamis. In Bible language, it literally often is translated as sometimes strength, power. In basic meaning, it is the inherent power that resides in a thing by virtue of its nature, or which a person or a thing exerts and puts forth. Joe Morello talked to us today about holiness. You see, when we live out a life and we uphold to a higher power which says what is holy, what is righteous, what is true, and we begin to practice that, we now have a nature which is inclined, which is connected to the holy. And that holiness and that connectedness then imbues, and then we extend a power that is described throughout the Bible, especially in the New Testament, 118 times. It is either translated power, it is translated might, it is sometimes one time translated actually meaning. It is a strength. And those are descriptions of the same use of the word because of what we do with it and where we bring ourselves in our lives. I see an interacting that happens in our congregation this way. You see, because when you send out a text, when you pick up the phone and you say, I was thinking of you, I was praying for you, I was calling you, I was needing to reach you because what? And that's the Spirit of God exposed, exerting, and putting forth a pressure. And now we have this power that seems to be within us. It is also described as the power of working miracles, dunamis. It also can mean the moral or excellence power of the soul, the honorable way in which you work and treat friends. You see, that's the honorableness that is literally a power that gains you what? Respect. That gains not, and you're not trying to do it to get respect. You're doing it because the other person is deserving as a human being of great respect. So the way we are using the Spirit of God is can be profound. It can be inspiring. I see it every day. Let us be reminded of this deep and wide meaning of power described by the Greek word dunamis. So There are actually five areas, five ways in which it's basically translated in the New Testament. One is ability. It's that capability of action. The other one is might. A might that is further defines the ability that you see. There is the third, which is the requesting of miracles. The fourth area is literally translated strength, a description of what it feels like from the inside out. You see, sometimes you look at yourself and you go, how did I do that? Where did I get those thoughts, those ideas? How did I have that impact on the other person? Because you were exercising God's holiness, God's love, God's care, that's kindness. And thus, we find in many times in the New Testament, it is described as a power that brings things under its very control. So I would like to go through those today with you. The first is this ability. And I like this very version of this definition of this concept of power, because I think sometimes we forget that we have the ability. You know, we have the ability to say no to sin. We have the ability to do right. You see, life is not just about what you don't do. It's about what you do do. And the ability, it describes that. You have the ability to appeal to the self and to feed it. Or you have the ability to reach outside the self, to reach into the lives and hearts and minds and souls of other people. Okay? And this is this yin and yang of life. But the Spirit gives us that ability. That other people, you can see in life, they don't seem to be able to get over the self, right? You know what I mean? Our friend Herb Vieira, I remember this sermon so vividly in the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Merton. And he gave a great sermon one time, and some of you will maybe remember it. And he says, it's not all about you. And it was just a great phrase. You know, the ability to be silent sometimes. The ability to be still, or the ability to offer a prayer, the ability to offer a hug, to call somebody and say, thought you needed encouragement today, the expression of kindness. Those abilities are expressions of the Spirit, the power that we, you and I, have been given. Turn over with me to Mark. Mark chapter 6. I thought I would turn to all 120 references today. Oh, you laughed. Hey, I got to tell you, Zoom folks, hey, it is great to actually, you know, have a phrase and have instant feedback. You know what I mean? I didn't have to wait for raised hands, you know what I mean, on the screen, right? You know, we all live in the Zoom world, right? Everybody has to raise their hand and you have to put your comments in chat and all those type of things. Very interesting. But over in Mark chapter 6, verse 5, look how dunamis is used. It says here, they were talking to Christ about some of the places they had been. And now notice this, the way Mark records it. Now he, Jesus, could do no mighty work there. Mighty is translated from the same word of power from 2 Timothy, dunamis. He could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Now look, we would say, okay, that laying hands on people and having them made well is a pretty big deal, okay? We think that's way, that we'll take that all day long. And Christ, is, the remembrance, though, was the mighty work is what? The mightiest of work is for the human heart, mind, and psyche to understand there is holiness, to understand there is a God, to understand that this created world was made by Him, that people were made to understand nature, to live within nature, to, as we can see with the pandemic, to try to live without virus. I mean, there are things that can really get at the human body and destroy it. But they're saying here, you couldn't do any mighty, dunamis work, effective work, for what? For the connecting of people to God. Mark remembers it this way. They were healed not of their, they were lamenting that they were only healed of their physical maladies, not their human and emotional and spiritual ones. A power that's deeper than physical healing, a changed heart, right? That is power. Now, let's go on and talk about the second one. Ability, we can see thus, is the power to take action. But let us see that there's more to this definition. the definition that can be more described as might. Often translated mighty, mightily, power. It's used in two ways. One is relative and the other is an absolute sense. So let's first talk about its relative sense. It denotes an inherent ability, a capability, the first one, ability, but now we're talking about the capability to perform anything. Go over with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25 and verse 15, very interesting verse. The beginning of the parable of the talents, and Christ is saying some things and trying to explain to them how you get things done. And notice verse 15, it says, to one he gave five talents, to another two, and another one, to each according to his ability. Interesting. The same dunamis word is translated power, might, or it is translated here ability. You see, we are free moral agents. The parable is saying you've been given something. Now, what are you going to do with it? It's not only about resistance. It's not only about resistance of the pepperoni on the pizza. Okay? It's about what are you going to do with the pizza? Okay? What are you going to do about the way in which you approach God and your relationship with him? And if you view God as holy, then you view what? I'm listening to a great book on Abraham Lincoln, and just the author's name skips me. But it's incredible how Lincoln really zeroed in just a very short amount of time on the essence of the issues of the time of 1859 and 1860, and how he took extreme exception to the report that came out of the Supreme Court of the United States at the time that didn't recognize people's right, that all men were not created equal. They literally said this in one of the Supreme Court in the Dred Scott case, right, Dr. Lewis? And so Lincoln came to see, wait a second, you can't say that. Either you say the framers saw all human life as sacrosanct, or you can't just come after the fact and say, oh, well, we only meant to talk about the white people. Lincoln was, the more he thought about it, the more I think insistent he became. And the reason he says, no, this is wrong. He says, well, we will respect the court. He says, and we will respectfully get them to change their mind because the country will take a different route. And so there was this ability, the ability to do something. We're free or moral agents. We have the right to act lovingly, kindly, nobly. You know, in Acts chapter 3, verse 12, Peter and John pray, and remember, the man is healed. And the people are going to worship them like you did something. And said, no. This wasn't our power. It's not our power as in we were the source of it. We were had the capability to exercise its use. That's what our lives are like. Now, that's in its relative sense. Now, here sometimes might is translated, and it has an absolute sense. It denotes this literally the power to work and carry something out into effect. Look over in Luke chapter 24. Luke 24 is a great scripture about this. It kind of helps you us define this multi-layer thing. Sometimes when we just say, oh, we have power, I often thought about power. You mean I just got to get hooked up to the electricity like I hooked my phone up here, you know what I mean? And that's what it is? You know, do we have a long extension cord to God all the time? The power has more effect, more nuance, more definition. And notice what it says in Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. Going down to the end, in verse 49, it says, Jesus said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are imbued with power, dunamis, from on high. A power what? For a purpose. He's saying, you've got to wait until you have it, and then you're going to be able to go and do something. Now, a real expression of this is, Paul brings it out in Ephesians chapter 1, and here we even see greater definition and greater contrast to elements. Notice verse Ephesians 1:21. It says here, and I'll pick it up in verse I think I want. Yeah, I know. I want to start back in verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his, God's power, his dunamis, right? His dunamis towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Now, notice here, in the first part of the verse, it's dunamis, which we're talking about, which is a description of the gift we've been given. Now, here, in the end of the verse, he says, the working of his mighty power, God's mighty kratos here. Kratos literally means the force. Okay, his mighty force, his deed, his working of power. The nuance is different. The nuance is there's a greatness of God's power which has an ability, a capability, as opposed to his literal mighty force of action. And now notice, let's go on down in verse 20 and 21, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. I mean, God literally acted in Christ raised, right? And seated him on his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power. Notice principality, the principality concept is in the Greek, it's arch, A-R-C-H-E. It really literally means the beginning of power, the first in a series, the leader. See, Jesus is what? Far above all other powers and sources of them. Now notice here, for and he's power, literally now, this word power is exousia, E-X-O-U-S-I-A in the Greek. It means the right to exercise power. You see, inherent in God and in Christ are the not just the beginning of the power, they have the right to exercise the power. Something that you and I do not have. We have been gifted the Spirit of God. We do not have the right to it. It's important for us to understand. That's why there's this whole effort, essence. Remember, David said, don't take your Spirit from me, God. You gifted me something. We see other places in the New Testament that we must adhere to the holiness that Joe was talking about. Why? Because we adhere to a God who is holy, who graciously, kindly, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Excuse me, God, through his love, grants these things. This is the power. Now look, so it's far above all principality and power, the right to exercise power, and that's it. And might, now they translate dunamis, might in this case, okay, because it has a capacity, an ability, a working strength, and dominion. Dominion is kratos, K-Y-R-I-O-T-E-S in the Greek. Kratos, it means literally the Lord, the lordship, the ruler, the one who possesses dominion. So look, I mentioned, we don't have the right to power. We have the gift of power. Notice over the page, Ephesians 3:16. Notice how he says it here, that he would grant you, Ephesians 3:16, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with dunamis, with might through his Spirit in the inner man. I love this connection. You see, this is where the Spirit does its real work, is in the inner man. Okay? This is why this is important. So I'll tell you why. Go over to 2 Corinthians. We see this is the absolute portion of the definition of power. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. Notice what it says here. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Okay, we don't need a physical sword, but mighty, it is translated dunamis here, okay? No, this one is translated dynatos, a power that works. So you notice the beginning of the word dynatos, the power to do something work. Now notice what? In God, for the pulling down of strongholds that are created by our heart, our minds, and our souls against God, because we say, I just love pepperoni. I love the taste of it. Okay, now look, but casting down arguments in every high thing, it exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This verse is where the pedal meets the metal. Brethren, these strongholds, everybody has ideas. Everybody has selfish motives and concerns. And where we stop the actions from coming forth is in the thought. And this is where we have to apply the dunamis. We have to apply the power, the gift that's been given to us, that what? It says, I don't have the right to power, I have the gift to power, and that gift allows me to control the self. It's a capacity, an ability. This is vital for us to be a part of, a power that gives us this capacity to change. It's stellar. So now, sometimes this power is manifested in an outside direction, thus as in miracles. Let's go over, you know, power in its inherent ability is often sometimes needs to see a demonstration in a supernatural way. And it's something that is not produced by a natural agent, okay? It is not produced by a natural means. Sometimes there is a direct in a meaning and deliverance from God. He intervenes. Notice Acts chapter 8, 13. Sometimes dunamis is translated miracles because that's what the end result is. Acts chapter 8, verse 13, it says, then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the dunamis, the miracles, and the signs which were done. The signs which were done. Watch this. Over in Acts chapter 19, I believe it is 19:11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hand of Paul. Sometimes the power is just, it's demonstrated. It's if natural effect is all you can say, is that is a miracle. It's not something we did. It's the effect of that power that resides there. Now, over in, I want to do 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10. Well, you can see it here, to another working of miracles. He's talking about the gifts, if you would, the effects, the way the Holy Spirit seems to be demonstrated in life. And you see it literally, sometimes it comes to some, miracles are done through them. It's just the way it happens. You know, we've had deliverances recently, right? Elida Bricio, who had contracted, along with Lourdes, COVID. I mean, for her age and health conditions, the fact that she survived, okay? I mean, it's a miracle. I mean, Dave Hunt, who is down at, hi, Dave and Pam. Dave's down in Torrance. We all prayed for him, and we knew that Dave was gone. We realized Steve Huco this last weekend would be gone. God, the only thing we are left with saying is the power of God came, and it performed a miracle. It resulted in a different outcome than would have been humanly possible. That is dunamis. Sometimes the only thing we're left to do to describe it and its effect in the world around us is it's a miracle. It's an effect of working. Watch over in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Not that the power emanates from us. We are a recognizer of how it has come to us. Galatians chapter 6, Galatians 3, verse 5. And it says, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works dunamis, works miracles among you, does he do it by the work of the law or by the hearing of faith? He who supplies. Do you see the gentleness, the way in which the New Testament fathers put forward? Look, we all know this. Once we did not have the Spirit in our life. Okay, and we walked according to our human way and just trying to get along and find our three square meals and all those type of things. And notice now, he says, the Spirit supplies. Doesn't it feel to you, after you've known God, known Christ, recognized the power of his sacrifice, that your life is now supplied? It's like a supply line that comes to you, that encourages you, that helps you read the Bible, that helps you reach out to other people, that stay connected to a God, to want to come to church. Okay, come to church and what? To share the great news, to be interested in where God has planted his Spirit with other people, to see this in action. And those of you who are on Zoom, we're all together. we're all together in recognizing the power of this spirit that resides with people that who are not the same that was they would be just in the human sense. There's other scriptures that you can read, Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. I mean, like I told you, there's 118 of them, and I was going to read all 120. No, it was funnier the first time, wasn't it? Okay. Okay. Miracles can rightly be described as power, that's for sure. But sometimes it is described as strength because of the way in which everything happens. Turn over with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12. For those of you on Zoom, the other advantage to being in person is I heard a few pages being turned here. You know what I mean? Actually, I think I've got more physical Bibles out here than we have computer Bibles. I think that's the result, right? We've had enough of computers and Zoom. Give me the real thing. You know, it's like, give me the real newspaper back. You know what I mean? Give me the real pages. There is something about the tactileness of the words on a written page and not reflected in light. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, he says here, and he said to me, Paul's writing, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul says, the dunamis, the same one that's given to us by the laying on of hands, is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, there's another use of the word strength, and it's so poignant. And it is in Hebrews chapter 11. And here, it's such a, like I said, strong and vibrant use of the power translated as strength. Hebrews 11:11, it says, by faith, Sarah herself also received dunamis, strength, to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him God faithful who had promised. It doesn't get any more real, it doesn't get any more poignant when you have no child and now you have a child. You see what I mean? No life begets life. Anybody who's been childless for years will recognize this. We didn't have children for 16 years. And then there was Laurel. Then there's strength. You see, sometimes the only way you can describe the Spirit of God, the New Testament fathers were saying, was it's strong, it's strength, because of what it does. This is what it looks like from the outside in, the inside out. That's the right way to say it. Look, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, turn over there. Revelation 12, verse 10, we see it translated the same way. Famous verse, right? Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and dunamis, strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. The strength because of what is accomplished. Not because God says, I'm strong. Because of what God's Spirit and power will have done to the lives of millions and billions of people. You see, I mean, it doesn't get any more creative. It doesn't get any stronger. It doesn't get any more intense than God letting people choose to live and use and exercise the power he's willing to give. You see, God draws like you draw water from a spring through a pipe. God drawing us. God's not tackling us. He's not dragging us down the stream. He wants us to use that spirit and power to be in what? Self-control through this dunamis, this might, this strength, this capacity, this ability, the right. Because you remember here, remember how it finishes this verse and says that the power of his Christ have come, the power, that's that exousia word. Again, it's the right to exercise power. We have been given, as we have in the U.S., we have a constitutional given privilege of citizenship to gather, right? We would call it in some legal terms, right, Mr. Darwin, we would say the right, right? But in these terms here, Christ is, he has the right to his power. We have the gift of his power. What a lovely, lovely contrast. We have the privilege to use this strength. It is gifted to us for use in connecting our lives to a God of strength, a God of power. And thus we see many, many times in the New Testament, this word, dunamis, is translated power. To have or to bring under power comes from many different meanings often. You know, I love it when I look up Vine's expository dictionary and it describes the word and then it uses a word that I don't know what it means. I got to look up another word. Okay, so I got to look up another word. And they were used, it was an English word. It's called the metonymy, right? Means a figure of speech in which one word or phrase is substituted for another. So, for example, we often say Washington is doing this. We mean the U.S. government of the United States of America is taking action, right? Washington stands for that whole phrase. And so it is in the New Testament, sometimes dunamis. When it's described as power, it literally encompasses this whole host of strength, meaning, capacity, and ability. Turn over with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Because in Romans, dunamis is used this way. I found it fascinating. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power, it is the dunamis of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. You and I know this firsthand. The recognition of Jesus Christ's greatness of the gift that God gave us through his shed blood does what? It is the power of God to salvation. Paul is saying it doesn't get any more descriptive than to talk about being saved, reconciled to God. This is God's whole focus and purpose, is to see a reconciliation, to see us in loop, in not just in line, but in tune with his way. We want this. For Christ, this is the power. That, how else could we describe that salvation power of God? Now, how about over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we see it translated power one more time, but with much more definition. In verse 18, for the message of the cross, the message of the crucifixion, Christ suffering, for all day long, his life being ebbed out every little bit so that we could live and be reconciled, is foolishness to those who are perishing. If you won't recognize its value, you'll never experience its value. But if you recognize its support for all, then what happens? But to those who are being saved, it is the dunamis. It is the power of God. It is his strength, his capacity, the ability. It's the miracles that happen in life. It is that power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring it to nothing, the understanding of the prudent. Quoting, but notice here, but where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world? Because you can try all you want to control the human mind, psychic, and will. But without the Spirit of God, you will not do it. Oh, you can have discipline. You can reap the rewards of discipline. If you rise every morning at 6 o'clock and you go to Starbucks at 6:15, they will serve you your coffee at 6:20. And guess what? You have coffee every morning. That diligence gets you that. But why do you do it? There. We have to get in the power of God. The Spirit of God gives us the ability, the capacity, the strength to dare look ourselves in the mirror and say, I'm going the wrong way. I'm going about it the wrong way. I need to exercise more love, more capacity, more ability, more strength that I do not have. And I need it from someplace. I need more patience. I need more love. What's it say here? For since the wisdom of God through the The world through wisdom did not know God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. The Jews request a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. To those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power, the dunamis of God, and the wisdom of God. To you and I, Christ is the power. It's everything. It's everything that it is, the ability, the capacity, the strength. It's the only description that fits, because everything else is foolishness. Is it any wonder when Paul went to talk and write to Timothy, he says, I remind you in verse 6 of 2 Timothy 1 to stir up, to blow into flame from a little kindling this gift of God which is in you through what? The laying on of hands, through your recognition that Jesus Christ was your Savior. And what? For God has not given us the spirit of power, fear. What? The dealia, the timidity, which you won't even look yourself in the mirror sometimes. But why? But of power, dunamis, because Christ is accomplishing everything and anything. That we are fully able to control the self, to reach out and to reach in at the same time. We have the ability, the capability to take action. We have might that is literally described as what it looks like to deploy the power of God where it matters most, in our hearts and our minds. We have the capacity to request divine miracles, and we have received them. May we champion those. May we remember the people who have been saved among us. May we remember the miracles. May we remember the doctors who wouldn't have seen it on the screen. You know, when we pray, like Ted did today, and we pray for the hospital people to have the presence, the minds, and the capacity to see. What do we think that those things go unnoticed? I don't think so. I think we find a vibrancy in the health professionals. When you go in and you meet a smiling face, as Susie did the other night, and then Susie said, well, Frank, you have to come and get me now. And so I went down, and I go up, and she says, and they've got me in the meditation room off the ER. She goes, so you'll have to come in. And so I go, and I say to the security guard, and I says, well, I'm here. My sister's inside. And he says, oh, yes, okay, let me get you the badge. And then here comes that charge nurse back out. And he says, this man needs to go to the media. And he gets that far in a sentence. She goes, your name's Frank. Your sister needs you. Go. Is that favor? Well, I say it's divine favor. Let us champion every essence in which God has granted us capacity, ability, and might, and strength, and power to see these things, a power that resides in us by the virtue of the way in which we practice it, because we embrace the nature of God, who in his loving kindness has granted us the capacity to grow, to use this spirit with every exertion, resistance, or embrace. We don't have a tiger by the tail. You and I have something much more amazing, much more transformative. It pulls down the strongholds, Paul says, of the human self. Jesus used that word, dunamis. Turn with me to read it. In closing, Matthew 26. When he said this, I think matters most to you and I. Matthew 26 and verse 64. Jesus has been scourged. He's before Pilate. He's before the power of this world in its might to destroy a human life. And our Savior, in his human form, tell us, they say in verse 63, if you are Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to them, having said nothing for hours, said for you, and me, it is as you say. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power. You will see him with dunamis and coming as the clouds of heaven. My friends, we have, as our Savior said, seen, participated, and been granted the lovely gift, the Spirit of God. That is power.